We magnify you, Father God. We glorify you. We say thank you for who you are. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Worthy of praise, honor, glory. You are more. You are greater. And we just magnify you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. It is good to worship him. It's good to just come into his presence, amen. And I really want to encourage you that we continue just to press in. Every time that you have the opportunity, every time that you can enter into his presence, do so, because it not only strengthens your spirit, but it helps you to engage into the spirit atmosphere and what God is doing and what is he establishing in the time that we're in. What is your proclamation? Mm-hmm. What do you proclaim? We've been looking at the kingdom, establishing the kingdom of heaven on the earth. We're looking at bringing the dimensions of kingdom and kingdom dynamics to the earth. The Lord said, let us create man and let them have dominion on the earth. And let there be an interaction between heaven and earth. I want to really encourage you to realize that we need to realize that there's an engagement that God wants to do when it comes between heaven and earth. And there's an engagement that needs to take place in our spirit so that we can come to a place where we can be naturally supernatural. Move in interaction with heaven and what heaven wants to do. So my question to you is, what is your proclamation? And I want to read some scriptures to you, and then we're going to have a look at these things in a little bit more detail so that you can start having an understanding of what we are talking about. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Then he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. You see, Jesus never spoke about the gospel of salvation. And healing every disease and every illness among the people. All right, so what was he doing? He was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. What is your proclamation? What are you proclaiming? And together with that proclamation, he was acting. He was healing every disease and every illness. In other words, your proclamation requires an action. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus began traveling throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every disease and every illness. Same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 to chapter 2, verse 2. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come to you with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. So we've been speaking about establishing kingdom. We've been speaking about looking at declaring the proclamation in the season. We've been looking at what it means. The proclamation in the house, what is the prophetic word, what is the dimensions. So I want to ask you this morning, are you the man and the woman God has chosen? Well, there's one person who's very sure. The others are coming in, the others aren't sure yet. All right, some are arriving, some are not arriving, some are questioning themselves. I want to ask you again, are you the man and the woman that God has chosen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you really believe that? Oh, I see. We've got a bit of a problem. Okay, let's start from the beginning. All right. Do you really believe that God has chosen you? Okay, let me help you get unstuck. Can I do that? Don't look at your circumstance. Don't look at your difficulties. Don't look at your challenges. All right, put all that behind you. Can you do that? Forget about your challenges. Forget about your difficulties. All right, forget about the circumstances that you're in. Now, do you really believe that God has called you as His man and His woman to establish the kingdom? Okay, that sounds a little bit better. Okay. You see, what you do is you don't really, really believe. You still have hesitance. That's why we need to understand and answer the question, what is your proclamation? All right? So, number one, what is my proclamation? In other words, what do you believe in and what do you stand for? What do you believe and what do you stand for? In other words, this is your faith question. You must analyze what you believe in and be sure of it. And I'm not talking about the Word of God. I'm not talking about whether you believe in Jesus or not. I'm talking about your belief. What is your belief? Do you really believe that you are established and that you are God's man and woman on this earth? Yes, but I'm not a pastor. I didn't ask you if you're a fivefold minister or not. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with, are you called of God? And this is a question especially that the young people need to also answer, because the earlier you can answer this question, the more effective you become later. All right? That's why knowing the Word of God, knowing Christ and the Holy Spirit is so important, because that is where your identity is established in. All right? Now, here's the thing. Can I just say this very bluntly? Are you ready for this one? Well, if you're not ready for it, get ready to be bashed. All right? If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. I'll say that in English. All right? If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. That's why Daniel could stand in Babylon. Because he determined beforehand, I will not change. I know who my God is. I know what my God is capable of doing. I will not compromise my faith. I will not compromise what I stand for, irrespective of what comes to me. Now, was Daniel tested? Yeah, for sure. You better believe it. All right? But did he stand? All the way. All the way. Matter of fact, he served three kings in Babylon. I'm telling you. Go read the story. All right? So, When I say, what is your proclamation, it really comes down to, what do you stand for? Do you stand for God and you stand with God? Or are you just flaking by? Are you just sort of, you know, moving? Oh, yeah, I go to church on a Sunday. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you too. All right? But you must, the challenge is, what do I stand for out there? Where everyone else can see me? Where the world is squeezing in on me? Where the world wants to conform me to something else? What am I standing for? What do I speak? You know, Daniel's story is incredible. You know, it starts off and he says to the captain that they were put under, he says, look, we're not going to eat from the king's table. He didn't ask him. He said to him, he said, we're not going to eat this stuff. And this is now the strange thing, because God had already given him favor with the captain. So he says, look, this is all really great and I respect you a lot, but I'm going to lose my head if you look scrawny and weak compared to the others. So Daniel says, well, then test us for 10 days and just give us this. And then you do to us whatever you please. All right? This is the interesting thing, because Daniel didn't say, we won't submit to you. He just said, do whatever you want to if you don't. And this is the thing. They were found stronger and healthier than all the rest. All right? So the captain said, okay, fine. You just stay on that diet. This is working for you guys. So, all right? And then comes the king's dream, and Daniel interprets the dream, and the king of Babylon falls down prostrate before Daniel. That's why when the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were tested and they stood before the statue, they didn't fall before the statue. Interesting, it says, it doesn't say anything about Daniel not standing, not bowing down. Why? Where was Daniel? Where was Daniel when the statue was erected and all the satraps and all the governors and everyone had to bow down before the statue, and you got three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing up like pillars? We ain't going to bow before this thing. You've got to be joking, all right? That was their team. But where was Daniel? Have you ever thought of that? Huh? He was not out shopping, definitely not. Huh? Daniel was standing next to the king. You see, that's your problem. How can the king expect Daniel to bow down to him if the king had already bowed down to Daniel? Hello? Come on. All right. So Daniel was standing next to the king. He's going, I'm not going to bow down, because the king has already bowed down to Daniel. In other words, the king has already acknowledged Daniel is higher than he. But the satraps and the governors wanted to get these three friends. All right? It's amazing. The king didn't learn with Daniel. So now he did the three friends, and we got the fiery furnace and the whole story there. And there again, the three friends said, look, king, irrespective, all right, we won't bow down to you or to your statue. And our God will save us out the fire in any case. And even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. What's your proclamation? So, in the proclamation, where's your furnace? What is your challenge that you cannot change your proclamation? Because this is the important thing. You cannot change your proclamation. All right? That's why you must know what your proclamation is. You must know who you stand for. Otherwise, you're going to fall for everything and anything. All right? Does that make sense? All right? So when the furnace is turned up 7 times higher, are you going to melt? Or are you going to stay standing? Now, the interesting thing is, Daniel's three friends knew that God can save them. But they said, even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. And that enraged the king, so they turned up the furnace 7 times hotter. That the guys that threw them in got burned and killed. You imagine the soldiers going like, okay, you go take, I'm going no there. I'm instructing you. I'm your superior officer. It's like, I gonna. Just imagine that. Because they could feel the heat was so intense from the outside. So what is your proclamation? Number two, is what I proclaim backed up by God? Is what I proclaim backed up by God? This is very important because we can proclaim anything, but does God back up what you proclaim? In other words, are you accurate in what you are saying? How accurate is your proclamation when held up against the Word of God? Or is it going to fail the test? That's why whatever you do, you have to hold it up against the Word of God. Everything must be held up against the Word of God and be established on the Word of God. Can heaven back me up in my words and in my deeds? Okay, I think you missed that one. All right. Can heaven back me up in my words and in my deeds? In other words, does heaven stand in agreement with what you are saying and with what you are doing? Very quiet. All right? Is what I'm proclaiming backed up by God? In Matthew 17, verse 5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. God speaking about Jesus. Can heaven back you up? When you stand in front of the pharaohs and the governors of this world and you speak on behalf of the kingdom, can heaven back you up? Will heaven open up and say, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, listen to them? There's no greater backing than that. Is what I'm proclaiming backed up by God? Number three, what do I raise as a standard before people? What do I raise as a standard before people? All right? In other words, what is raised up when you speak or when you come into action? When people see you, what is the standard that is raised up? All right? Daniel had a standard. What did he say? I will not partake of evil or what is bad. That's it. Joseph had a standard. I will not defile. I'll not defile and I'll not be defiled. That's why he ran when Mrs. Potiphar tried to grab him. Moses had a standard. I will not forsake these people. Hey, do you realize Moses was arguing with God? God said to Moses, listen, Moses, get out of my way. Let me deal with these people. And then you and I will start again. And Moses is going like, excuse me, Lord, what are the people going to think? Huh? Or you've taken us out of Egypt, but now this God can't even control his people in the desert. This is Moses speaking to God. All right? What is the standard that will come up? David had a standard. What was that? I will not give anything that costs nothing. Oh, come on. I want you to understand this. David had that standard. I will not give what costs nothing. Elijah had a standard. What did he say? I will not tolerate evil. I will not tolerate evil. Paul had a standard. I will not withhold what I carry. I will not withhold what I carry. Timothy had a standard. I will not neglect the anointing upon me, nor compromise on my father's teaching. I will not neglect the anointing upon me, nor compromise on my father's teaching. Is the standard getting a little bit tough here? All right. What are you going to raise as a standard? How do people see you and know you by? How do people know you and what do they know you by? What is your standard? All right. So what standard am I raising before people? How do I present myself wherever I am? Are you alive? So, I will not partake of evil or what is bad. I will not defile or be defiled. I will not forsake. I will not give what costs nothing. I will not tolerate evil. I will not withhold what I carry. I will not neglect the anointing upon me, nor compromise my father's teaching. What are you standing for? If you don't have a standard, you're going to fall flat on your face. Because people are going to step over you if you have no standard. What do you carry inwardly that will touch and change lives? What do you carry inwardly that will touch and change lives? Outwardly, we could be bruised and carrying the scars of battle, but yet we can be victorious. Because it depends on the inner dynamics and the inner dimensions of what God wants to establish in our lives that will bring the shift. So, what is the standard that you raise before people? Are you still being challenged? Good. Number four. What is the message of my life? What is the message of my life? Is my proclamation clear and simple? Or is it very complicated? Some people have got such a complicated proclamation that they don't even know what they're proclaiming. Just keep it straightforward. Keep it simple, all right? Your message should be clear for all to see and simple enough for all to understand. You know that Jesus never complicated things, you know? It was only the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they were sad, you see, that complicated things. All right? It's the religious leaders that complicated things, that made things complicated. The Word of God isn't complicated. Jesus said we must become like children. All right? Not childish, childlike. All right? So because even the Word of God is so simple that every child can understand it. Jesus was real. Don't get so religious that no one can come close to you. Some people are so religious, just no one, you know, they just, everyone walks just like, oh, it's the holy barrier around me. There's no holy barrier around you. It's total stupidity. That's what's around you. Okay, never mind. Skip that one. All right. So you know, what is your proclamation clear and simple? Is it straightforward for everyone to understand? Can they see the standard in your life? You see, most of us, or a lot of people, not no one here, the others, they come to church and they say, but your standard is so high. No, it's not the standard of the church, it's the standard of the Word. There's only one standard of the Word. It's not a double standard, it's one standard. All right? That's why Jesus says, count the cost before you start building. That's where the church fails, all right? Because the church says, give your lives to Jesus so that you can go to heaven. Wrong teaching. Are you sure you want to give your life to the Lord? Yes. Why? Because I want to go to heaven. Wrong reason. Come back later. Oh, I've told people to go and think about it already. Ask my wife. I've told people, listen, if you're not serious about giving your life to the Lord, then don't do it. Don't do it for my sake. Don't do it for anyone else's sake. Go home and think about it and pray about it. Because it comes at a cost. Well, don't look so shocked. Well, you're probably the first pastor that heard that before. All right? But it's true. It's a fact. Because why? We try and paint Christianity as being rosy. It's not rosy. It's adventurous for sure. Oh, yeah. If you want an adventure, become a Christian. All right? You ain't going to have a lack of adventure. In everything. God is a God of adventure. He's a God of fun. Oh, now we're getting country over here. Yeah, I think the hard times leave you alone when you get to heaven one day. All right. So what is the message of my life? What message am I bringing across? Number five, what do I emphasize in my areas of influence? What do I emphasize in the areas of my influence? In other words, what do I do to impact the areas of influence that I have in my life? Are you going in with the purpose to impact and change? No, I'm observing. I am a spectator at this point because I need more anointing and grace in the Holy Spirit. Stop being religious. Maybe I must ask the Lord to set you alight. Set you on fire. Lord, set them alight so that they can make a change, all right? What are you doing to influence the areas that God has given you access to? What are the focal points of emphasis so that kingdom can be manifest? What are the things that are bringing kingdom? Remember, you are a conduit pipe for heaven. So are you walking worthy to establish the kingdom mandate? You see, most of the time, as Christians, we walk around with this big grin on our face, Bible under the arm, And we just say, hello, we Christians, and we go to church, and we have a good time, and that was really great, and so on. But we don't do anything as Christians. We don't bring change. We don't bring influence. Oh, that's for the fivefold ministry. Those are for the pastors and those that are called in full-time ministry. Look, the moment you became a Christian, you were included in full-time ministry. Amen. When you have a job, you're in full-time ministry. Huh? Oh. Hello. When you gave your life to the Lord, you came into full-time ministry. Whether you've got a job, whether you're at school, whether you're studying, you're in full-time ministry. Shocker. Huh? You see, that's the problem that the church has made, because we've made a division between those that are in full-time ministry and those that are in the secular. No, we're all in the kingdom. So if you're in the kingdom, you're in full-time ministry. You've just all been deputized. Huh? Come on. Oh, everyone's going to go home now again like, oh Lord, what did I get myself into this morning? Huh? Lord, I need to reconsider. It's too late. You're in. So you might as well adjust your proclamation according to what heaven has for you and set things into place and get going. How's that? You see, other people, they walk, they go like, oh, hi, hello. Aren't you a Christian? Yes, I love Jesus. But it's personal to me. My relationship with God is personal. Yeah, for some of you, it's so personal, God doesn't even know about it. Huh? Have you noticed those people? God doesn't even know. It's so personal. God doesn't even know. Huh? And we walk around our lives, we're going like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Instead of walking in the authority that God has given you as a child of God, whether you've just given your life to the Lord or you've been serving Him for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, it doesn't matter. All right? And for some, you know, we need to look at, that's why it's so important to ask yourself, what am I proclaiming? Am I walking in the authority that Daniel walked in when he went into Babylon and served under three kings and changed three kings' lives? The one king wasn't even ruling for very long. The second king wasn't ruling for very long, because the first king died, then the second king came in, and Daniel's first order was to interpret the writing on the wall. Is there anyone? The king says, is there anyone that can understand what's going on over here? Daniel comes in, yes, your time is over. That's it. Was Daniel compromising? No, he wasn't. He was walking in authority. He told the king, listen, dude, your time's over. The writing's on the wall. That's it. And that same evening, Babylon was overthrown. Next king takes over. He then goes and tells, you know, that king. You know, it's amazing how God's grace works. But that king was given some time. And then Daniel says, look, king, the dream that you had and the tree and the stump that was cut off, were it not about you, it would be wonderful. Are you telling the king this, nay? The one that has authority over life and death of your life. All right, you telling the king, listen, your dream, you're going to be eating grass like the cattle. You're going to be mad until you have submitted to the living God. Oh, okay. So that's why it is important to understand why do I proclaim what I proclaim and what do I proclaim? Because that is going to set you on track for where God wants to take you. Does that make sense? All right. So Father, I want to come this morning and I want to pray that you would, by your Spirit, lay hold of us and set eternity in our hearts, Father God, that we can rise up, that we can be established, sure-footed and secure in your kingdom, knowing what our proclamation is. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to every single one of us, that we will walk, that we will know, that we will, without a shadow of a doubt, irrespective of what happens around us, irrespective of the attacks, irrespective of the gossips, irrespective of what comes around us, that we will know who we are in you and what it is that we speak. Without wavering, without doubt, without looking at our circumstances, but that we can be rooted and secured in Christ and sure-footed on your word. Holy Spirit, that you will guide and lead every single step that we take so that we can be a secure planting and secured in the word of God and know the proclamation of our hearts and speak it boldly to those that need to hear it. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we say thank you. Amen. Amen.